going. The approval of the agenda.
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Second?
I'm Mike delegated a spot to me tonight, by the way.
For the airport update?
No, for, as a voting for.
Oh, yeah, okay, oh, Mike did, okay, yeah, that's right. I didn't quite hear you say that, so. Okay, approval of the meeting minutes?
All right, second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, meeting minutes are done. Declaration of any letters, opinions, or guidance from the outside advisory committee.
Hey, Jim, I don't think we're aware of anything.
Hello there. No complaints from angry pilots or anything?
Nothing written.
That's good, I mean, it's.
I mean, if you're gonna include those in opinions, then we'll be here all night, but nothing to report.
Right.
Jim, you had to put up one of my blistering emails.
You made me respond with my phone, it was.
Big finger, little screen. Most of those will be talked about probably in the airport update.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Do you have anything, Jeff?
No, sir.
Quiet week. Wings and Wheels update, Larry.
Not really much to update over last time, except that it should be a much more of an upscale event this year, especially the Friday night dinner. I think I mentioned that last time. Big band is coming over to do that, and the Abbott Costello guys completely revamping, you know, the dinner, the meal, the entertainment, everything over what was done last year. I kept trying to push the chamber to raise the price, you know, a good bit more because of the quality of the event, but they felt they could go past like $45 a person, so that's going to be the best bargain in entertainment in the United States that weekend. Because the big band is coming, you know, these people are known far and wide. Mm-hmm. I think I even mentioned they leave after here, they leave for a tour of Japan and then off to Europe. So it's a good group. I've known them for quite a while. If health holds up, Nicole's coming back.
Oh, good.
And also, we have Gus. You know, we have trouble pronouncing his name. He was the navigator on the photo plane on the Hiroshima mission. And on the Nagasaki mission, he was a navigator on the, I think it was Rust. He was a navigator on the Enola Gay for Boxcar on the Nagasaki mission. Enola Gay was the weather plane on the Nagasaki mission. They only had a couple airplanes equipped for the nuclear strikes. So he's coming up for that. And so we got really a unique situation here is the first, you know, representative from the first and the last. The first raids on Japan was the dual raiders, and the last was the nuclear missions. So we've got a veteran from the first and the last. So we're going to try to promote it that way, as the first and the last. And our biggest problem is going to be, what are we going to do with the, you know, once we run out of ramp space, when I start parking in the grass or turning them away, because if, you know, with everybody that's starting to respond that they want to come, it's going to be, we may have to just start turning people away at a certain point. I keep telling everybody, come early, because once we run out of parking space, we're out of parking space, and we'll just have to.
Are you talking about aircraft parking, correct?
Talking about aircraft parking.
Would it be possible to use the taxiway Bravo and back taxi for 2-8 if they had to? Is that something that could be entertained?
Jim and I can enter. When we start working on the safety plan, once we get a little bit further along, we can have maybe a little bit better idea. But my email box is starting, my folder I've set up for this is starting to get sort of full for some of the guys that want to come. And we've also got some of the guys, there's a lot of T6s coming in from all over the country that week, and some of them are going to be coming over here because the following Friday, after Wings and Wheels, we're going to be launching over 60 T-6 Texans for a flight over the Pentagon, commemorating the 75th anniversary of the T-6 North American AT6 Texan. So a lot of those guys are coming up, and we're going to launch that not out of here, we're going to launch that out of Culpeper, but some of these guys are coming up for a whole week-long formation clinic over at Culpeper, so I'll say, hey guys, come on over to Georgetown. So we may have some of those guys here as well.
Can I just interject something too? Hi, Larry.
Hey! Some of this you ain't even heard yet.
Huh?
You haven't even heard some of this yet.
No, I haven't, but it's good stuff. One of the other things that we're working on, I'm the event coordinator for Winds and Wheels, so just so you know a little bit too, is on Friday, in conjunction with Dell Tech and Dell State and PAX Aircraft, is an aviation education day in the morning that's going to be directed at high school kids throughout the state. And we're looking to have about 100 kids coming out. That's in the preliminary stages right now. We're looking at having some vendors and some other things come in. So Larry's very well aware of it, and have been working hard with Mike South and Jason Bentley from Dell Tech to get this thing put together, which is going to add another element to our Friday, our Friday day as well. But there's a lot of things that we've been working on, and like Larry says, there's just so much more interest every year that comes up with this, and we're trying to get everybody's interest out there and trying and bring in a younger crowd too, so that are interested in aviation, and hopefully work that angle into it as well.
On that Friday thing, let me get involved with some of those people early on too, because we can bring down a lot of, I've got a lot of vintage aircraft parts cutaways, and it'd be a great show and tell kind of a thing. Cutaway propeller domes, magnetos, card readers, on and on and on. We bring all that stuff down, set it out on tables, and have show and tell,
Well, I think I need to talk a little bit to more about, because I've got a little bit more background on what they want to do, so you and I need to kind of debrief a little bit.
Do planes have to register?
Mm-mm.
When they get here, we try to register them just to keep a database of who is here, for next year. We're planning on doing pretty much everything the same.
Okay.
The only other thing that we ran into, especially like last year, because we had such great weather, we had 385 cars here last year, and we ran out of space for cars.
Same thing with cars. Once we get to a certain point, it's going to be, sorry, there's no more room.
Exactly. Because more and more people now, the more they hear about it and the more they see, they want to come, especially with the World War II vehicles. The World War II contingent is going to be bigger this year than it has been in the past. So that means more vehicles, more people. And we had a veterans mobile unit that came out last year that this is the first time they heard about it and had a fantastic day reaching out to veterans and can't wait to come back again. But, those elements, take up a lot of space.
Right.
And so, that's what we always are challenged with every year.
Our biggest challenge, and fortunately this is Linda's problem, not mine, that to deal with.
Thank you, Larry.
I coordinate the inside defense stuff, and Linda coordinates the outside defense stuff, but there's going to be parking and transportation for people to and from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
It is, the people who complain the loudest about that should sit in and try to offer some solutions to a very difficult problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tough problem to have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And that was our biggest debrief that we had at the end of last year. And we're working on a lot of different things to kind of move people a little bit easier. It would make it so much easier if the people that own the lots right outside of here would help us out, but every year we ask and every year they turn us down. We have to do different things to move people a little bit easier.
Yeah, but also, those are agricultural plots, and if you have at least a little bit of moisture in the ground, you're going to wind up having cars stuck and just, I'm not sure that would...
But Jim is helping us out this year too, because what we lost last year, what we thought we lost last year with the handicap parking and parking at the airport, we've got some of that parking back. So the premise is that it's not going to be everybody, it's not going to be wide open to everybody, it's going to be handicapped people, because that's where we seem to have the most problem moving the people here. We got two handicapped school buses, not realizing that it was going to be so difficult to load those buses. KSI is now working with us with their handicapped buses to get those individuals here. But if we can use the airport area to do, you know, to offer some handicap parking, that's going to help us out a lot too. And then we can go to 4 school buses to just moving the people. But we're also looking at the Nanticoke powwow. They move people with these trailers that are like one step up,
right,
and they're pulled by tractors. Now we're able to use those trailers. We just need to find somebody that's going to tow them on a tractor. So
right,
we're looking into that as well. So that will move people, you know, a lot faster too. A lot of things in the works.
How many trailers do you think you'd need? Dozen?
No, I don't think that many, because I think they have 3. So we're only looking at 3 tractors to pull those.
Okay.
And the volunteers that do that for the powwow are from the tribe, so
right,
they won't volunteer their services for us.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Do we get the tractor, or do you need tractors too?
I can get the trailers.
Right.
I just need the tractor to pull the trailer.
Okay.
You need a tractor and a driver.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy. Has anybody thought about getting a hold of Jimmy Mezick, just if he, you know, if he's allowed to advertise Mezick up there in Harrington to supply the tractors?
I know he does it for the fair.
He does fair.
Yeah. And then with only 3, I mean, I've got 3 tractors. I don't know how big a horsepower you need.
That's what I have to find out. I'm waiting for them to tell me how big they have to be. And then I can.
And their gear
can
shift. That's probably the only downside.
Mm-hmm. But I can, once I know that information, I can pass that on to Larry, and then he can
mm-hmm.
let me know.
But I think we can scrounge up 3 tractors. I know I
can. You know, I thought the same thing, too. I mean, you know, with all the tractors around here in Georgetown,
right,
I'm sure that we could come up with something. I just need to find out how big they have to be in order to pull these.
After we do some little aircraft tugs.
Yeah. That would be, that'd be fitting.
I've got a World War II tug down there we could use. We got a second one down there. We just got to get running. But, you know, you'd rather have a modern tractor to
right.
pull with. It's just a little more dependable than have to use these 75-year-old tractors.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
But if we come down to not having something to pull them, we'll pull that thing out and use it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find out how many horsepower, my tractors run between 35 and 40 horsepower.
Okay. All right, I'll find out, and then I'll let one of those guys know so they can get it to you.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You get a 40 horsepower tractor, that'll pull this building off the foundation
mm-hmm.
of the gear. That'll
yeah.
pull those trailers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then my smaller ones are like 30. They're hydrostatic, so they're easy to
that'll
operate.
Be plenty.
Right.
That would be plenty for pull these people trailers.
And it's easy to operate. That's the key.
Well,
the other big ones are gears, and that's kind
yeah,
of but
the hydrostatic
simple.
Is an automatic transmission. That's
right.
Push one to go and push one to stop, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff could even drive that.
Without wrecking?
The stopping is always the question.
Without wrecking?
Now, you've got Jeff doing other stuff.
Yep.
What?
Yeah. He volunteered you last year.
I know he did.
But we can get you covered on the tractors.
Okay.
Yeah, we are subdividing a whole lot more this year because the event has just got to be just overwhelming
mm-hmm.
for Linda and I. Last year we did some subdividing, but we didn't do enough.
Right.
So this year we're going to even do more. Because last year, you know, when we had a snag, like the prisoners didn't show up to
mm-hmm.
help set up the barricades, then we didn't have enough buffer within,
right.
you know, the people and buffer.
Yeah, but this year you got 100 high school kids here Friday morning. So.
Yeah, are they going to bring
more? Well,
I think this year, though, don't we have
Sean,
a lot of
your ROTC exhibits
people?
And then
I think
the ROTC,
more ROTC units want to get involved this year.
We have ROTC from Sussex Central, and we have ROTC from Polytech High School, and I've reached out to Sussex Tech. Their ROTC guy hasn't gotten back to me yet, but we should have a good contingent of ROTC kids here.
If we get enough of the ROTC people, I would rather use them. I know this is offline for enough for those things, but we really need to use more of them and less dependent on the prisoners, especially after what happened last week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
When is there a definitive meeting date for Wings and Wheels where this really starts to kick off?
Well, we're
really
meeting
starts
now.
To kick off? I would say, I mean, I'm planning on having another meeting in May, but we really kick into gear probably July. And going forward from there, because that's when all the all the logistics has
right.
to come together. And you know, but right now, you know, it's just a matter we're working on sponsors, and you know, and a lot of our meetings are just updated, you know, updates from the committee members.
Right.
But there's not a whole lot going on right at this moment. But July is like when we really start to, you know, figure out what we need to be doing, what we have forgotten, what do we need to be thinking about, that kind of stuff.
You don't have a definite date on May?
I don't. I'll tell you what I'm shooting for, but I just have to get approval from Kelly for the building.
And one other thing, it's probably from the parking standpoint. What kind of parking do you need? Is there, and when I say that, there's visitors, then you have your handicapped people,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the people
it's
that
the
are
spectators.
Spectators.
What we started doing last year, and we're gonna kind of do more of it this year. The volunteer parking is gonna be in the field over here.
Okay.
We got them coming in, you know, all during the day.
Right.
So the really event parking is what we're talking about for the people that are coming out to the event. In the years past, we've always used the airport and that field that's over there where Dell Tech is and
right.
the solar panels. And that's the one that fills up the most. But we had a lot of handicapped people. We tried to make provisions for them at the school. So we had Sussex Academy, and we had the lot across the street where the retail stores
mm-hmm.
are, whatever they are there.
Right.
And we had that big field all the way around that butts up against
mm-hmm.
Route 9. So what we tried to do, especially with the handicapped people, is have them as front and center as we could have them to make it ease for access for them. You know, there's a whole lot of things that you're thinking about because, I mean, people that you're thinking are handy. I mean, I've heard so many stories over the year, you know, the last year of, you know, we know we had a problem logistically with the buses. We know
right.
that. And, you know, we're gonna fix that in a number of different ways. But, you know, we also, you know, we tried to prevent parking on Airport Road. And, you know, the town tried to help us with that. And in the way that they tried to help us with that, made it more of a nightmare for us.
Mm-hmm.
So logistically, we're going to work something different for that this year so that we can kind of stem the flow of the traffic, because that's the biggest thing, too. If you have everybody parking down there and we're busting them in, now you have to control because you can't walk off the road, which is what they tried to do, and people
right.
came anyway.
We'll have to go back and do what we did a couple of years ago along Railroad Avenue was we were out here to midnight
putting cones
all the way up to
mm-hmm.
the baseball and stringing rope and tape
right.
along there. You know, Jeff, you know, those are the cones that I rented that you arranged and rented for me. But we were out here with some of the reenactors, the World War II reenactors.
Mm-hmm.
We were out there until close to midnight, you know, putting that up and down East Side Road where
mm-hmm.
people can park. The only way you can do that is either that or put mines out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they park everywhere anyway.
Right.
You know, even though we tried to prevent it. I mean, they were parked in that triangle that's over back there. And they were walking in, and you know then you have to worry about that too, because now you have people walking into the event, and you got the buses coming, the cars coming,
right.
and you're really trying to coordinate that as well.
Okay.
Luckily for us, we had some really great people that were out in that road and really trying to stop traffic and do what they needed to do, and they're gonna do more control of that for this year. So they already know what the issues are, and they know what they need to deal with.
Okay.
You know, so that's gonna be a big help as well. In years past, we've also used the soccer field down here. I chose not to use it this year or last year because they just put a new field in there, and I was
mm-hmm.
so afraid even if we had people parking there that they would get on that field because they're just going to park anywhere they want to park.
Right.
You know, at least I knew at the school and the field over there that I had ROTC cadets that were out there that were helping people park. You know, and again, the bigger this gets, the more labor intensive it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of people that want to volunteer for this stuff, especially, you know, during the day.
Right.
So that becomes an even harder issue as well. But, you know, we had a really good debrief at the end of last year. We came up with a lot of really great ideas and some things that we needed to work on, things that worked really well. And I think we have a really good start for this year. And, you know, so I think we really addressed and thought about, you know, exactly what we needed to do and how we needed to do it. Now we just got to get it put in place.
So going back to my original question, did we figure out May when you were looking at
that? I'm sorry. Sorry, Jeff. May 15th. And I usually start the meeting at 4 because I like to try and get enough time for Larry to get up here. And we'll try and meet here. That's why I had to just check the date with Kelly.
I'm supposed to be in Marine Corps Station 3 that day, but that's all right.
You always tell me what you want me to say, so.
You know what problems I have with.
But any of you are more than welcome to come out to our meetings and just see what we talk about.
Please do.
Yeah, the committee meeting, the committees all go through, you know, what we're doing, you know, from the logistics end of it with the reenactors and, you know, what we're trying to put together for our speakers for the Living History Program, the vendors aspect of it, the sponsors, you know, so you get a really good picture of what we're trying to accomplish.
Very good.
Delaware Today. What was their statement? It was must.
Yeah, Delaware
must,
Today
has
put it down as a must see event for 2014. First time we've ever mentioned in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have this transportation thing figured out. So.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
admirable.
That is the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the handicap won't be the problem. Our vendors, you know, all that kind of stuff, we've got all figured out. The cars coming in, it's all figured out. It's just. How are we going to be able to park and move all the people, the spectators that are coming, to a free event? You would think there would be a little more accommodation. It wouldn't be quite as grumpy when you're getting, not even having to pay an admission charge. But
you're dealing with human beings, right?
That's, yeah. So have you got anything else on that, Larry? You got your hands full with it, that's for sure.
It's got to be, well, as we continue to dissect the event and delegate more and more event, I think it's going to actually run a whole lot smoother.
But we'll do the best we can.
Anybody that wants to volunteer to help?
That's
welcome.
Right. Just tell me who you are.
You got anything else? I mean, you filled us in pretty good. The May 15th meeting will be sort of the kickoff meeting. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've already had two or three meetings already. But, you know, I try to do one at least once a month, but like I said, those are like the initial, you know, talking about who we want to go after as sponsors. Ford came aboard last year for the first time, and we're trying to get them to do an event sponsorship for the whole weekend now with this aviation day and do the Friday night event and all of that. So that will help us out a lot. We're trying to go back to some of our older sponsors and see what we can do. Sponsorships are always a big thing for us, you know, and most of what we make in the past, because we haven't made a whole lot of money, is to provide fuel for the planes because we don't, you know, they don't get paid. So, you know, we've been very lucky in the fact that, you know, Larry's been able to, you know, do the best he can with Garrett's help to get the planes, you know, the fuel that they need. And, but it's, you know, it's more about, you know, for me, it's more about awareness and, you know, the history part of it, bringing people out to the airport and seeing, I mean, you know, so many people that come to this event have no idea that this place even existed, you know. So, you know, it's a great educational tool for that as well. And, you know, I mean, there's so much history involved in this event that, you know.
Well, and part of an airport's job is public relations with its community. So that the community feels the airport is part of the community. This is our airport, you know. And that's the best thing you can do as far as community relations is a free event like this for the community.
There's not that many events. And if you look at what's been going on lately, you know, when it comes to festivals, you know, the chicken festival's going away, you know, Pumpkin Chunka may be leaving Delaware. You know, we're rising now, and you know, some of the other ones are kind of falling off. And there's something else I think in Seaford that just stopped happening as well. So you know, if we can keep this, you know, we may be that premier event for the county.
I heard something the other day advertising Bacon Festival.
I've never heard that one.
Where?
That's a good one.
It was
what is that?
Uh, Dewey Beach, I think.
I heard that one.
Bacon Festival? Yes, it was on television the other night. I don't watch much television, but I had a big laugh over that. Bacon Festival in Dewey Beach.
I do Bacon Festival.
Yeah. All right. That's good. We'll move on to the wildlife management update.
The only thing I want to update you on is we're having a more successful year finding where the geese are hiding their nests and being able to destroy those and some of the eggs. I'm not going to announce numbers in public, but it's been at least one nest and one egg. So, but last year they did a better job of hiding. But that's about it on wildlife management.
I've only seen one deer. I saw one deer about 2 weeks ago right across from my hangar in the swale, and she didn't run very far. I got probably 20 feet from her. And a little one. So
they're out there. We've got some habitat management
right.
things planned for later in the summer, and
that's the first deer I've seen in a long time.
Yep.
If people wonder how much damage a goose can do, there was in Canada not too long ago, there was some wildlife guys flying a Cessna 172, about 100 miles an hour or so, and they hit a Canada goose. Killed the guy in the right seat, the guy in the left seat barely was able to control the airplane and get it on the ground. But the guy in the right seat was killed from the impact. So just in the pattern around here, you get a goose. It could be a fatality.
Mm-hmm.
They were lucky that one come through the windshield. If it hit the wing, they'd have both died. And y'all know the story. I know somebody may or may not know the story. You know, Jerry Jones, who's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, his son, the airplane was coming to pick him up. They were at a hunting camp down in Alabama. And the pilot's coming in, just a little corporate jet that comes in here all the time. They hit a deer with a nose gear, collapsed the nose gear, lost control of the airplane, went off the runway, tumbled, caught fire. And if it hadn't have been for a couple of good old boys that happened to have some axes in the back of their truck, both those pilots would have burned up in the wreckage of that airplane. But they were able to cut through the windshield and get those two guys out through the windshield, through the fire. So, and that was a small deer that they hit. It wasn't even an adult that they hit. So, wildlife, a bad juju at an airport.
I keep an axe in my plane, just in case. All right, Jim. Airport update.
All right, get comfortable because there's a lot going on. the first thing I want to announce, the Waterloo VOR, the FAA has announced that they are not going to decommission it.
Good deal.
I'd like to think that it was my well-crafted letter that did it, but it was probably more like Senator Carper's phone call. But that's been taken off the list of VORs to be decommissioned.
Sweet.
Some things happening in the industrial park with the roads over there. We just completed some shoulder work on Nanticoke Avenue. Mark, I don't know if you've seen that or not, but that'll help with the drainage along that road from where the truck driving school is to the first driveway for Delmarva Insulation. We've got some repaving work coming up. One is on Baltimore Avenue, which is the road from the water plant kind of out past your place there to the cul-de-sac. That'll be done sometime in June. We give them between the 2nd and the 30th to get that done. That I believe is going to be during the week. And then Sussex Avenue, which is the road from kind of the big intersection over there out to where the old entrance to the industrial park is. They won't go that far. They'll just go beyond Broad Creek Avenue, which is the road that goes to the chicken plant. And that'll be done sometime during May, I believe. That is probably, I think that's the one we're going to do on a Saturday just because of the amount of truck traffic going to the chicken plant. And all these projects, the contractor has to maintain traffic. So just like we did last week with the shoulder work, There'll be people there with the flags and the stop signs and that kind of thing. And then we move into speed bumps and speed humps. We're going to remove the speed bumps on Nanticoke Avenue. The two by the guard shack will get removed, and then the three along Nanticoke Avenue will get removed and replaced with speed humps, which are, I guess, a little more gentle kind of a deal than a speed bump. And then they'll put the signs up that, you know, speed humps kind of thing. So that's all our industrial park work. There's a lot going on there, and that's this year's work. We had another set of repaving for the next few years to get all the roads back up to speed over there. Tomorrow we're going to be paving around the electrical storage shed that's over here, along the fence at the end of the taxi lane. We want to get that done before we move into our concrete apron repairs, which will start on Monday. They're going to start mobilizing tomorrow. You'll see some equipment out there. But just like we did last year between the T-hanger and Sussex Aero Maintenance, we're going to do the same thing this year between the T-hanger and John Reichert's hangar. We're going to do it in two phases. We have them 30 days each. The first one starts Monday on the side closest to the T-hanger. We're not going to allow parking on any of that ramp just because of the saw throwing stuff up and all the dust that it creates. You'll see the low barricades out there, and they should be done within 30 days. It'll be reopened for Memorial Day weekend to allow parking on the entire ramp. And then they come back on June 2nd and do the second phase, which would be this other half over here. And it'll be the same thing. And it's the same kind of work. We'll be cutting up some sections and repairing some of the joints and that kind of thing. We're about ready to go out to bid on restriping runway 1028. If you've been out there, Garrett doesn't think we have a problem, but if you've been out there, the markings are pretty well faded. There's probably no reflectivity left in them at night. I don't know if anybody's seen it at night.
I didn't think they were that bad.
I've been landing on it, and I didn't.
Yeah, you know, I mean they're visible. But if you go out there and
right.
You know, if you're not going 100 miles an hour past all the things, you get a chance to look. You know, there's some things you can tell where, you know, they made one pass and it looks like there's no paint. The next pass, there's a lot of paint. And so we're fixing all that. And this is really a good time to do it because we're going to be restriping runway 422. And with 1028, we're going to do a pilot project to do things a little bit different so we can compare how long this lasts compared to 422. 422, they're using the standard FAA standards for painting. In our case, we're using some recommendations from a study that was done for the FAA and also the people that manufacture the little glass beads that give it the reflectivity. We're setting standards for reflectivity that the contractor is going to have to meet. And he'll be paid based on whether he meets that. He's got to meet a minimum, and he's got a target reflectivity measured in millicandelas per square meter, which means nothing to me. But it's, if for instance, the yellow paint, the reflectivity has to be 400 of those things with a minimum of 300. So if he hits the 300 target, but not the 400, he's going to get paid 3/4 of the money that he's bid for that part of the project. So we're pulling into that. One of the things that this is going to do is it's going to probably keep away some of those parking lot painters that we seem to get out here that can't paint in a straight line, and we end up with the problems that we have. So we're just about ready to go out to bid on that, and that'll be done. We're looking probably mid-July to the beginning of August to do that. It'll be a daytime operation. probably 2 days at the most, and you know, obviously we'll have to close 1028 on days that 422 is available. So you know, we'll look at that. Runway 422, what we call package one, which was last year's project. There's still a little bit of work left to be done on that. The big stormwater pond that's out there, they dug it just a little bit too deep and it was holding water, so they've been out there reshaping the bottom of that. And then there's a little bit of seeding and mulching that they have to do. So we're still finishing up on that part of the project. This year's 422 project, what we call package two, is actually moving along very well. The thing that we've been disappointed in is the runway 1028 closures. And I know it's caused a lot of heartburn for people, and I apologize for that, but it did not work out the way we had it planned in the design. And that's because of, you know, when we got to actually selecting a contractor, and you know, he came up with his means and methods and proposed some things, which actually gets a better product at the end. It creates the closures that we've had.
Your closures is the changing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
one day to the next, you know it's going to be open, and then you make all these plans at mm-hmm. each end of a business trip, mm-hmm. and then you get an email
right.
that it changed.
Right.
And then you got to start trying to move stuff around, some of which you can't, some of which you can. But we're now trying to juggle the change for Friday, because you know, Friday's
yeah, and I'll give you the best schedule I have in a second, but you know, help me out here, Gus. But I mean, you get things rolling, and
right.
you really can't tell the contractor
yeah.
he can't work, and there's a lot of things that we have to balance. You know, not only the operational side of things, but
right.
you know, the legal contract side, and what's going to get us the best end product. And I'm pretty impressed with George and Lynch, the work they've been doing. Most of the arguments that I've had with them as far as runway closures is, you know, they want to do something that's going to close the runway longer, but it's going to get us a better
right.
runway in the end. And, you know, we try to stick to the schedule as much as we can, but, you know, something will happen. And, you know, the weather, we have no control over the weather, obviously. And, you know, have some equipment problems. So, like I said, that's probably the only thing so far we've been disappointed with is not being able to keep that runway open as long as we'd like to.
Who's making the decision of when that runway needs to be closed?
Well, it's still the same. Whenever they're working in that approach area to runway 10, the runway 10 is closed. 1028, because it's a departure and an arrival type thing. But we also run into things like, you know, they have to pull through the taxiway.
Right.
And so there's no way to get to the runway. The runway would be fine because they're not working that area, but there's no taxiway to get you there unless we stop in the middle, pull off, you know, and then we end up with the joints.
Right.
And, you know, we're trying to minimize the number of joints. We had the paving fabric that we put down, you know, smeared in the asphalt that you really don't want to taxi over because you can pull that up and wrap it around your wheels. And so there's all kinds of things that get wrapped into this thing.
Yeah, they're trying to pull one complete pass all the way down.
Right. But no, I understand.
It's like 1,600 tons.
I'm just wondering who's making that decision on the closure. Is it you? Is it the contractor?
It's a little of both. You know, he's got his request, and you know, based on the conditions of the day, and you know, the project engineers that are out there, and you know, usually it's me telling him, you know, we need to get it open, and you know, then they explain to me why it's not a good idea, and I was like, okay, you know, because like I said, it's going to get us a better product in the end, fewer joints, et cetera, et cetera. So,
I mean, the only reason I'm asking Jim is because I know when Daytona was working on their main runway, we were still going in. Of course, they had a lot more runway, but we were still using that runway, even though the men seemed a lot closer than what we have here,
mm-hmm.
the equipment and the manpower. so I didn't know what was driving it, if there's an FAA requirement, statistic, mm-hmm. clear zone.
Well, like I said, you know, when we're in that approach slope to runway 10. That's the big thing. But then, you know, while they're working in there, they're also pulling across the taxiway, and, you know, we can't keep the taxiway open. It was, you know, it's all milled up, and you know, the first part was when they were milling, so that's all a mess. Then they've been paving, and I want to stop the paver as it's going through. But like I said in some of the emails, I mean, we look at it every day when they make their request, and, well, can you do this, can you do that, and, you know, usually they have a reason not to, and it's because it's going to get us a better product in the end, and we've kind of been siding with the better product in
right.
the end. And
now, when they start paving, will we be allowed to cross one end once it
yeah.
cools to temperature?
Yeah, let me give you the schedule as we
okay.
know it. And I think I'm up to 18 of these emails that I send out to everybody, and I got 109 mm-hmm. people that I send the emails to every day. So, you know, as I've said, it's the best information that I have. It's gonna
right.
it's gonna change, but I'd rather tell you what I know and you know, let you realize it's gonna change. And, they still have some wedging leveling to do tomorrow. We'll have the split closure tomorrow, 7 to 10 and 1 to 3. And then Friday, they'll put the test strip down, and we're scheduled for 7 to 11 to close. We had talked about, you know, why can't you put the test strip down at the other end
right.
and don't worry about it.
But that's not how they're
and,
set up to pave.
And they're set up to pave from that end to start
mm-hmm.
with, and then there are some requirements that they have to pave over a joint, which we don't have one down at that end. And, you know, because of the 300-foot section, there's a couple reasons why this end works out better and, you know, meets all the requirements. So Friday, the test strip, it'll take them a day to get the results back, so we're going to Saturday. Saturday, they won't be paving because they're still waiting on the results and all that. And they're looking at, and I'll know more tomorrow. Right now they're scheduled to pave on Sunday, but just looking at where they are on the schedule, they may wait till Monday. So, you know, we'll have a better idea tomorrow. And of course that depends on whether the test strip passes, et cetera, and
right.
the weather, and but
because they've got
so
one.
If we do get out on Friday, we don't know if we can get back on Sunday.
You'll get if they do pave, it'll be either a split closure or
yeah,
or it'll be or it'll just
drive,
be just the morning.
Whether they pave on Sunday or not, more than likely.
Yeah.
If they fail, then they got to do another test trip.
Yeah. So they'll be if they have to do another test trip, they'll do that Saturday.
Okay.
Probably. Or if they do a Sunday, it'll be Sunday morning. It'll be a Sunday morning closure. If it passes and they want to pave, it'll be just a Sunday morning. So you have the afternoon to get back. And
so if there is a closure on Sunday, it'll only be in the morning?
That's my guess right now.
Anybody recording this?
Subject to change.
I think the way they're paving it, it's going to be closed in the morning till they can clear that taxiway on the far end so it can cool so you can cross it. That's why that end's always closed because they're pulling that direction.
We just got to go to New Jersey to pick up the B-25 that we're doing NASCAR flyovers in Richmond, and
right.
then we got to return it on Sunday and then get back. So do we drive? Do we fly? You know, to go pick up the other airplane. That's why
I would say either way, late in the day, you're going to be okay.
Yeah,
so we'll know
yeah.
more. And you know, every day I'm going to put the email out, tell you what happened that day.
Because it's going to change. I mean, they could break down halfway down the line or
yeah.
whatever. You know, it's a mess.
We've had some equipment problems, but you know, they're bringing in top of the line stuff. They're, you know, they've got the manufacturer of the paver here on site to take care of any equipment problems. So they're going all out. So Friday will be the test strip. Saturday will be off. They'll probably still be out here working on other stuff, but it won't affect the runway. Like I said, Sunday, they could possibly begin the production paving. And when they do that, the plan is to start on the Roy Four end and do a single lane in one day. And the lanes are 25 feet wide. That means they've got six lanes to do, you know, six days worth of paving. So, you know, as long as the weather cooperates and
everything else,
everything works, 6 days they're going to be done paving. Of course, you know, they lose a day for weather, it adds a day. You know, we'll wait and see.
How deep is their lift? 1 1/4 inches?
2 inches.
2 inches.
So when two inches.
They have to cross a 2 inch lift.
Mm-hmm. And then, well, let me explain that. When they open up the taxiway, they'll ramp that down.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it'll be a little of this, but you won't have the 2 inch drop off. There'll be a ramp, and then when they come back, they'll cut that and remove the wedge and pave. After they get done with the paving, then there's like 2 or 3 days worth of landscaping, seeding and mulching, dressing up the edges, and 2 days of striping, which can be done while they're doing the landscaping and cleaning up. So once we start paving, 6 days of paving, about 3 days after that. So, you know, watch the weather and emails and then kind of keep track of all that stuff.
The 422 will still be closed for 30 days after that?
No. Once it cools and when it's striped,
okay.
We'll open it.
It's 30 days for the grooving?
For the grooving.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Now the striping for the first go around is temporary striping. It doesn't go down as thick and doesn't have the beads, so it's not going to have the reflectivity that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not going to look like brand new paint, but so just be aware of that. There's still working on the approach lighting system. The Mel's shelter, the thing that's got all the controls and electronics in it, comes as a unit. That's due to be delivered in the middle of June. So in the meantime, they're working on utilities. They've been boring under the roads or the road over there and putting some of the utilities underground, getting things set up for the mail shelter. And we've got the light towers have been delivered. And as soon as they get all the electronics up, the electric stuff up, they'll install those. I don't know if you've seen the big concrete blocks over there. Those are the hand holes for the conduit to go into for each one of the light stations. So that's kind of the construction part of that. Instrument approaches. We're still targeting the 24th of July as the publication date for the new instrument approaches. We have some issues with the instrument approaches. That we're working through. The first one is that the initial publication will not have the vertically guided minimums, the LPV and the LNAV VNAV minimums. There were some issues with the FAA, how they incorporated the survey data that we gave them for the vertically guided surfaces, they call it, and it didn't get included in the approaches. We're working through that right now, and I don't think it's going to make the first publication. And I'm waiting to hear when they'll catch up with that. What you will see are LP minimums, the localizer type procedures, which I've never been familiar with before. I don't know if you've ever seen those. But basically, that's kind of the GPS version of a localizer approach. So you get the precision course, but you don't get any glide slope information. The next problem that we have a utility pole on Park Avenue that penetrates the 20-to-1 surface for the Category C and D aircraft by 1.5 feet. Which that, I don't know if you probably haven't been following this like I have, but this 20-to-1 surface, and there's a 34-to-1 surface that the FAA has been really big on for the last few years since somebody hit some trees up in New York at night. That penetration, they cannot publish a new approach and allow that penetration. So what you'll see is for Category C and D aircraft, which will affect your guys, the night minimums are not authorized. So no nighttime approaches for those aircraft.
Is it going to be that way for long, or is it?
Well, I'm hoping we're going to get that fixed before the things get published. It's a Delaware Electric Co-op poll that's out there, and they're gonna remove that poll for us for free when they get all the other utilities get moved. So depending on when that happens, then they'll be able to take that out. Our proposal, and I'm still waiting to hear back from the FAA, is publish the approach without the restrictions and just note them, the restrictions in, and so you just take that out as soon as the poll gets removed. So I'm still waiting to hear about that. And then the last problem that we're working on is, and this is an FAA problem that they haven't been able to solve yet, is what they call the legacy of obstructions. When they went to the new GIS system for approach, you know, all this data, they carried over a lot of the obstructions that were in the database from before. There was a 200-foot tower in the field across from DelDOT, across from DelDOT and the state police on that farmer's field there, that has been in the system forever, but I've never seen a 200-foot tower there. But it's in the system. It's been affecting our instrument approaches, and so we've gone through all of those obstructions and actually sent them pictures of, okay, here's the spot where you think this tower is. It's an empty field, and they've accepted all of that. We're waiting to make sure that those things actually did get taken out when they developed the approaches.
Actually, Jim, I think that tower was right there on the backside of our building.
No, this was one across 113, right out in the middle of that field.
Jeff, you're talking about what used to be the old Beacon Tower at South Field.
No, I'm talking about at the highway building at DelDOT.
Oh, DelDOT.
And
okay.
Just on the backside that had our antennas on.
Our building, I thought you were talking about the tower. It used to be just on the other side of Sussex Air.
Right. Yep. No, but there was a 200-foot tower. That height matches what was there. So
yeah.
Maybe their GPS was off back in the 30s. Yeah.
So we're working on that. And then the next good thing is we'll get a visibility credit for the approach lights once those are up and flight tested. So, the approaches are going to start evolving here as systems come up. And I think it's an eighth of a mile that we get for that. But that also brings the other minimums down. Excuse me. So a lot going on with instrument approaches. I'm on the phone with the FAA two or three times a week working on this, and we're getting it done, but be patient with that. The last thing I want to update you on is we have requests for proposals out now with consultants for a marketing plan for the airport. And this is based on some of the things that were in the business plan. And also some of the things that Todd's talked about as far as branding and that type of thing. So we'll have more to follow on that once we get the proposals in and look at those. But this is not gonna do the marketing. It's gonna give us the tools to do the marketing and some recommendations on where to market and who to target and. And like I said, the branding part of it.
Since this came up and we started talking about it, we did an air show down in South Florida, Airport. It'd be an interesting sort of case study to take a look at. Fly PGD, that's identified down there, but all the marketing that they've done for Airport, a very similar size airport. But they've recently got some airline service in there, and it's Allegiant. They usually have at least one jet sitting there broke, mechanics working on things.
At least his air carrier service. I don't think we'll ever have air carrier service here, but that's all there. Nor do we want it.
Well, that was my update. Like I said, there's a lot going on, and
I got a couple questions, Jim. On the lights with 422 out, we purposely have taken them out of service during the repaving. How frequently do we check the 1028 lights to make sure they're operational? Somebody hadn't hit a wire. Somebody hadn't kicked a breaker out.
When the runway is closed, they'll turn the lights off, and then the electrician is supposed to go out and physically check when they turn them back on.
Did they come back on?
I'm talking about the 1028 lights.
1028.
Right.
When 1028 is closed, the lights get turned off. The pappies should be getting covered. They've probably been a little slack on that.
But that's it. That's at daytime.
Right.
Yeah, but
and when they come back on, so you know 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whatever that. Reopening time is, they go in the vault, then they undo the lockout, tag out, they go out to the runway, make sure the lights come up like they're supposed to, they click them on, make sure they come up, check the pappies.
Okay. And the only other thing I'd recommend in that email you send out is to also note on there that the 422 lights are out during construction. I've had two local pilots coming in, click them to go them on, and they're like, there's no lights. And it's like, look a little harder. And then, but they're looking for the 422,
right?
And especially the runway identifier lights, and they just don't know that those are off during the construction. Mm-hmm. So as awareness, you might want to just put on them as a note that during construction the 422 lights have been purposely.
They're only going to be off for what, another week?
Mm-hmm. A couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know, week and a half.
I can put it in the next email.
Yeah, that would be my only recommendation. But it has come up twice between two different pilots.
I didn't notice when I came in the other night. I just knew I was going to 2-8.
Yeah, but it's they're purposely turned off.
Right.
And shooting a practice approach and circling. Both of them were looking for the runway identifier lights, and they were looking for the runway to light up because they gotten used
right.
to seeing the nice lighting that they're used to.
They didn't see the light guy and go light it up.
Well, they just wasn't registered. They were looking for that nice lighted runway that they've gotten accustomed to.
I didn't even notice that, to be honest. I mean, if I was coming in, it wouldn't be in my vision going into 1028.
It's not as big as what Ocean City is.
Right.
You can see now.
Yeah, the X's you can see, but it's not, you know, and I don't say anything until we get near the area, and I'm like, okay, well, what are you going to do?
Is there anything else for the emails that would be helpful? Like I said, I would send it out to 109 people now, and yeah, a little bit of everybody, and everybody's looking for a little bit different.
I just sent Jim somebody else to add the other day. Having trouble with us sending anybody else that's interested that maybe use the airport to add to that group. Having trouble adding other people.
No, I've gotten several emails.
It's good to
please add. Goes to Dover.
Okay.
Goes to NetJets. It goes to Pax. But I can add.
Too, but, you know, I got people that use my airplane like this weekend for a NASCAR flight. I'm going to be in Florida doing an air show with my airplane, but Paul's using the command to go get Tom Duffin's airplane. So we'll just need to add Paul to this in case I forget to record any of his updates.
Send me his email address.
I did.
Did you? Today?
Yesterday.
All right.
You responded.
Did I?
He just does
nicely.
He's just one of the 109
got
that
he
got a response to.
He got the last update, so.
Oh, okay.
PEN82
at Verizon.com. Yeah, okay. I didn't realize that's who that was.
Yeah,
okay.
Anything else, Jim?
That's funny.
Public comments from anyone? A lot going on out here, which is good.
Well, part of the good thing is that you address my concern with the business plan update.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the subsets
speak for Todd, but really hasn't gone any farther than what he talked about at the last meeting as far as the county council. We are moving forward with branding the airport, and that may drive branding the county. If we identify this as the Southern Delaware Regional Airport or the Coastal Delaware Regional Airport, that may kind of push the county into identifying itself as Southern Delaware or Coastal Delaware or that kind of thing. But
it's always been coordinated with Tourism Council, Economic Development.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a hat in that project.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we talked to the consultants about is this is not going to be an easy part of the plan. It's going to be mostly a recommendation to take forward, but they're going to identify the things in Sussex County that make it unique, and things that at the airport, things like Pat's and Del Tech and your museum, and things that kind of identify the airport and Wings and Wheels. And
that could be the logo. Could be a wheel with wings coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, surprising how many people. I was talking to a guy in Columbus, Mississippi, 3 weeks ago. And he said, "Where y'all based?" I said, "Georgetown, Delaware." "Oh, y'all got that big Wings and Wheels flying up there." "Well, how'd you know about that?" "He said, well, my uncle's brother's nephew or something." I mean, this guy's a local in Columbus, Mississippi, and he'd heard about it.
Anything else? Good. Take care of your...
Yes.
Anybody have anything else to discuss?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you good?
Fabulous.
We have a motion to adjourn?
Second. Next meeting date.
Oh, next meeting date.
If you skip a month, it'll be June 23rd.
If you skip a month...
Like we usually do.
I have a little voice telling me something inside my head. What is it saying?
June 23rd?
5th.
25th? June 25th would be the fourth Wednesday of that month, the little voice.
June
says.
25th. I'm good with that?
June the 25th?
Yes.
Then that'll put us.
So you gotta be here.
Just for forward thinking, that puts us June 25th and then August 20 something. That's the last one before the Wings and Wheels.
Right.
But we don't meet normally in July and August.
What's that?
We don't normally meet in July and August.
Right. Right.
Okay. So then that'll put us into September, right before Wings and Wheels.
Yep. Just before Wings and Wheels. That works. But one more. That way we'll get. Final update on, hopefully it'll be all done and everybody be happy, and it'll be a distant memory. So we'll go ahead and do June 25th. Can I have a motion for June 25th as our next meeting?
I'll make a motion that we have June 25th as our next meeting date.
Any opposed? So be it. Mm-hmm. Have you back to the original?
Just duly note that I will not be able to be here today.
I gotcha.
Hey, Jim, have they done anything with the economic development?
Who's second in your
chair? The vacancy that Julie left?
They advertised it.
Jim, second that.
Oh, I second